I'm almost speechless. And there might be a miracle for a pastor to be speechless, right? Let's give the choir a hand. Thank you, guys. Wow. Thank you to our musicians, to everyone who has made this a beautiful service. I've been looking forward to this and Tuesday night. I think I'm doubly looking forward to Tuesday night because we're going to be singing a lot. And so I appreciate what the choir and everyone in the music ministry does to bring us into worship. We're continuing on in our series, The Glory of God. This is number 4. The title today is Jesus is Love. And believe it or not, I have the first gift of Christmas here. You could tell it was wrapped by a man because it's not very good. But this week, Sharon and I received a wonderful gift. Yeah, Terry. It's our registration cards. I don't know exactly what that means, but I think we're finally citizens of Spain. Put that there. Right, you all know the secret. It's like, yeah, he doesn't know what's ahead. But love is the greatest gift of all. It's as if love is the wrapping paper containing all the other gifts of Christmas. Faith, hope, joy, and glory, all wrapped into one special bundle called love. And the bow that wraps this package is the body and blood of Jesus, broken and spilled out on the cross for you and me. Oh, that we would only receive this gift of ultimate love, this gift given at just the right time. God loved us so much that he sent Jesus to be the Lamb of God who takes away our sins. Our broken relationship is restored, redeemed, and we are brought into loving relationship with the Trinity. We enter into that perfect bond of loving relationship. Let's pray. Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we come before you, having lifted your name on high. Not enough. We want to continue to praise you and to glorify you and to thank you for what you have done in sending us and teaching us about love. Lord, as we pause this morning and think about that perfect gift 2,000 years ago that is still being given today, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the baby in the crib, that little manger. Thank you for the journey that you took to that cross. And thank you for love being the motivating factor for everything that you did. And help us to receive that and let love be the motivating factor in everything that we do. May the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. So we, I'm on? Nope, I'm not on. Sorry, folks. I thought I turned it on. Now I'm on. Okay, love's journey. So what we're going to do today is I want to paint a picture, a mosaic of the different aspects of Jesus. You know, we've been taking a theme each week and trying to put this massive idea into some obtainable, some receivable packages. And so I think about love's journey. God first loved us. So before time, take a moment. You might want to close your eyes. And imagine a time when time did not exist. Before creation, there was only God. Three in one, in perfect Trinitarian union. Perfect love in perfect harmony and relationship. Complete. Yet, somehow there was desire to share this union, to invite into relationship. In that moment, God saw you. You were conceived in the mind of the Almighty, even before a single atom had ever been created, before the light of any star shone. You were the twinkle in God's eye. God saw you in complete totality. From birth to death, every breath, every heartbeat, every thought, every feeling, every pain, and every joy. In that moment, God loved you. He decided to create you in His image and likeness. And when He did, He said, "Very good." God knew you, the whole you. Only a sovereign, omnipotent creator could know everything about you, yet He did. He knew every moment of joy you would experience. He knew every pain you would ever feel. He felt your delight. He felt your fear. There has never been a moment, never been a thought, never been a feeling you had that God did not experience with you. He knew them before you existed. The complete package of you, wrapped in His agape love, His perfect love. John 1:1 tells us, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," echoing Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God." Only there was a problem. Genesis 3:7 tells us that Adam and Eve disobeyed God. And in verse 23 it reads, "So the Lord banished them from the Garden of Eden." And in Romans 5:12 we read, "When Adam sinned, sin entered the world." But in 15 we continue, "But even greater is God's wonderful grace and His gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ." Romans 5:6 tells us, "When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners." At the right time. So we move into love in action. God sent Jesus, and Jesus is love. Love is the message of the Bible. This is God's love letter to you. Do you realize, depending on the version that you search, love is proclaimed 759 times in the Bible? So as I think about this gift of Jesus being love, let's move through three aspects of Jesus' life. First, the babe in the manger. John 1:14 tells us, "And the Word was born, a baby in the manger." Isaiah 9:6 had prophesied, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given." The Almighty Creator of the universe became a helpless baby, dependent on His mother for nourishment. The mouth that spoke universes into existence now cried out as a baby. The hands that formed Adam would learn from Joseph how to fashion a chair. The heart that saw you before creation would see you as He hung on the cross. I think of Jesus in two different ways. The joy of Jesus and the man of sorrows. Like I've said before, we have to hold in tandem the justice of God with the love of God. And it's the same situation when I think about Jesus. I think that what captures me about Jesus is how real he was, how real he is. We have all our image of Jesus in our mind's eye. Mine has been radically changed by watching The Chosen. This, for me, is after a long season of painful introspection, of asking Jesus into the broken places in my heart and sitting with him and pushing my pain and my hurt and my stuff across the table to him, and his joyfully receiving it with a smile. Jesus carried the burden of the world on his shoulders. Do you see where we get imposters like Atlas, you know, the Greek god who supposedly had the world on his shoulders? Jesus literally did. Now, I don't truly understand, but by faith, I know that Jesus was fully God and fully man. He had full knowledge of what was going to be required of him. This is where The Chosen has helped me see his frustration with his disciples, but also the fact that he knew what was going to happen to them. The pain and the death that they would face in his name, yet he endured it. The pain and the separation of being apart from his Father God for a season, for you and for me, he endured it. My image of Jesus is not this pious, quiet, petulant one we most often see in movies. I see Jesus as laughing and joking and playful and genuinely enjoying life. I believe he felt deeply both pain and pleasure. When he tasted wine, he knew the molecular structure of it, but he enjoyed it to the last drop. I believe when he ate a piece of fruit, he may have remembered Eve taking that first bite of forbidden fruit, and maybe he winced. When he looked up and felt the rays of sun on his face, he remembered when he created that sun and the first rays spread out across the universe. I am sure that Jesus laughed and loved deeply because that's how I've come to know him. In my relationship with Jesus, I ask him, show me yourself, reveal yourself to me. And he does, sometimes in beautiful, playful ways. Next, the perfect sacrifice. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, John told us. And Paul tells us in Romans 5:6, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us. In verse 8, he says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while you and I were still sinners. The demonstration of God's love in Christ came just at the right time. The law had operated for centuries and had served to expose humanity's inability to measure up to the divine standard of God's righteousness. No further testing was needed. At the right time, the Messiah came into the world and brought us to his level. And Jesus came, the spotless lamb, the perfect sacrifice, the one who had never done anything wrong, never sinned, never rebelled, never quit, never disobeyed. The Lamb of God to take the entirety of sin, the whole world for all time on his shoulders. Jesus hanging on the cross is the perfect picture of God's love. And I heard a quote I want to give you from a rather famous very personal friend of yours and mine. It wasn't God's wrath he was suffering. It was ours. And that's our beloved Reverend Dr. David Dixon, our emeritus pastor. Listen to that again. It wasn't God's wrath he was suffering, but ours. We put him on that cross, and he endured it. Jesus hanging on the cross is the perfect picture of God's love for everyone. The unsaved, the outsider, the outcast, for you and for me. If only we believe and receive this free gift of love. 3, a life of love. Jesus loves through us. John continues in his letters this beautiful theme of love. In chapter 4, verse 18, he says, perfect love drives out fear. Do you remember we talked about shalom, shalom? You know, perfect peace. I would say shalom, agape, perfect love. And this perfect is the idea of fully mature, finished, complete, right? Causes me to think on the cross, Jesus says, it is finished. It's done. Remember that what Jesus did on the cross, that word justification means made right with God. Through Jesus' love, you and I are made right with God. And Paul says in Philippians 1:16, he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. So God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is at work in you and in me and in us. My favorite verse is Colossians 3. I'll read just 13 and 14. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who forgives you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. We'll talk a lot more about that later. 14, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony. Clothe yourself with love. And earlier he says, clothe yourself with Jesus, with Christ. And that perfect love binds us all together in perfect harmony. I was hearing some beautiful, perfect harmony up here as I was listening to the choir. We have perfect harmony with each other when we are seeking peace between us. As Jesus is working to make us complete, finished, whole, and fully mature, remember, this is a lifelong process, a journey. We show perfect love when we make allowance, forgive as we are forgiven. And so, perfect love, perfect lamb. And then, practice perfecting love. Right? We've talked about the perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, the one who is working in us. But practice practicing perfect love. Ephesians 4:3 continues in Paul's admonition to us, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Make allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called into one glorious hope for the future. Do you notice all of the themes that we've been working through just in those verses? Love is a two-way street, right? It's not just you loving others and others loving you, but it's the vertical and the horizontal relationship. We go back to the greatest command from Mark 12. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. The way we can know how much we love God is to look at how much we love other people. I said this 2 weeks ago, but I had to say it again. The way we can know how much we love God is to look at how much we love other people. Love, correctly understood and practiced, puts peace on a practical level. To truly have peace with others, you must love them as God loves them. We are made to live in peace and love with each other. When we're at peace with God, we are at peace with others. When we are loving God and receiving His never-ending love, we can truly love others. So, I have a few questions. Do you know how much Jesus loves you? Do you know how much Jesus loves you? Have you asked Him to show you? It's a simple, easy prayer. And it might take some practice, but I encourage you, ask Him. Just simply, Jesus, show me how much you love me. And He will. And then, do you love Jesus? Do you tell Him every day? Do you say, Jesus, I love you? That is a beautiful place to start in prayer. Jesus, I love you. I love you with all that I am. And continue with, I give everyone and everything to you. And then the final question is, how are you showing Jesus love to others? How are you showing this Jesus that we talk about and we sing about? First of all, to each other, but to the people around you, to the rest of the world. Let's pray. Father of love, Jesus, our light, Holy Spirit, our fire, breathe on us the blessing of love. God, I ask right now that each person listening in this room or even on a video would ask, Jesus, how much do you love me? Would you show me, please? Lord, through your word and through others, through the season, please show us how much you love us and allow us to respond in kind by saying, thank you for love. Thank you for Jesus. And thank you for my brothers and sisters and giving us this beautiful world in which we live. Help us to be light and salt and joy and hope and peace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.